We heard John in the Gospel today relating to us the words of Jesus as he spoke to Nicodemus, telling us that there is one way of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, who the Father has sent. You have seen this verse, John 3:16, held up on banners. Many will ask, "Have you been saved?" But often not knowing what John was talking about in context. Salvation today among Western Christians is often something talked about in juridical language. This is inherited from Martin Luther, who was a lawyer by trade. Calvin as well in his early days. And so often in the Reformation, salvation was talked about in this terminology that made sense to them. I often do that with you. I use some of the similar language, right? I say, listen, when we were created by God, it's part of our nature to be religious beings. That is, we seek relationship. And that which we come in relationship with, we become one with and begin to look and act like. You know, when your kids are starting to act strange at home and start to speak differently, you say, who have you been playing around with at school? Right? You can see they're imitating somebody. They're hanging out with someone new. And it's now changing their behavior. And so it is with us. This is unavoidable. This is why it's so important that your children have good children to play with. Because you can't avoid them acting like, imitating those that they're around them. This is how they learn from you as parents. They naturally speak like, act like, talk like you. No way to avoid it. For good and bad, we should remember this. I remember one time I was at a funeral back in the Midwest. Now funerals, as in the Middle East, are often almost like family reunions, right? There were hundreds of people there at this funeral. It was an older uncle who had died in his old age. Everyone knew him, everyone loved him. Hundreds of people there. Many I had never seen. Distant relatives. And I saw one man, and I had never met him before, but he looked just like one of my distant cousins. And I said, are you related to, are you the brother of so-and-so? He said, oh, no, well, sort of. I mean, we're distantly related, but no, we're no close relation. I said, well, you look like him. He said, well, we're all family, you know. He said, you must be Bill's son. I said, yeah, Bill's my father. I said, you know my dad? He said, well, yeah, we grew up together as kids. I said, when was the last time you saw him? I said, well, when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. Now, the man I was speaking with was somewhere in his 60s. I said, well, how did you know I am the son of William Carnazzo? He said, well, the way you talk. The way you move your hands. You just look like him, everything. Oh. And this is it's not just how we look, but we imitate. And this is why it's so important to be in communion with that which is right, our loving Father. That's the hardware. But there's the software, right? I'm using our local Silicon Valley language, right? The software. We can change out the software, but you can't change the hardware. Now, some of you hardware engineers might argue with me, you can change them. But the rest of us don't know anything about that, okay? We just get the computer, we can change software, that's about it, okay? And so it is with us. Now that language makes sense to you, and it makes sense to me because this is part of our world we live in. And so to Martin Luther, John Calvin, it made sense to talk about salvation in juridical language. And while St. Paul does, in a very few places, make a light reference to that concept. He's using a metaphor, as he does with so many other examples. Jesus Christ is our Paschal Lamb, he says, who has been sacrificed for us. Now, that's a metaphor. This is typology. Jesus didn't have wool on him. But what he did and who he was the fulfillment, St. Paul is saying, of the Old Testament image of the Passover from Exodus chapter 12. St. Paul uses lots of images, lots of metaphors like this. And so it is very important to make sure we allow the typology, the metaphors, to have their poetical beauty and license that they were intended to have by St. Paul, the human author, and God, the greatest writer in all history. So when we come back now to John's Gospel, we have to look at John's Gospel, what he says here, in context. What does he mean to be saved? How is it that you are saved by Jesus? Well, St. Peter says very clearly at his speech in Acts the Apostles, when the crowd heard him preach the gospel for the first time, it says they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the brethren, "What shall we do?" And Peter and the others said, "Repent. Repent and be baptized every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit." Why is this the apostolic understanding of salvation? Because this is what Jesus taught to Peter and the others just before he had ascended, only a few days before Peter's speech. He had blessed them and said, "Go out and make disciples." Make disciples. This is the imperative of all nations. And then here come two participles. Most English translations preserve the Greek here. Baptizing, you hear the ing, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching, there's another ing, teaching them everything I have taught you. All Greek scholars and all biblical scholars will tell you, if you read a big thick commentary of whatever denominational background they have, they'll tell you what Matthew is saying there as he conveys to us the words of Jesus, is that the way you make Christians, the way you make disciples, the way the church multiplies to make disciples is by baptizing them and teaching them. Notice the order as well. Notice the order as well. This is why the early church baptized both babies, children, adults. Because if the person is going to properly understand and be taught the Word of God, they have to be transformed first into a new creation. They have to be restored to what Adam was supposed to be, a child of God in relationship with his Father, imitating and hearing and learning everything from him. As we read the context of John chapter 3, we see it begins, again, looking at context here, we're talking about John 3:16 as we just read. The first verses of the text tell us that Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to Jesus by night. And this is John's way of speaking about not only the historical circumstances, but also commenting on a problem. The Pharisees are in the darkness. The disciples are in light because they are with Jesus, who is the light of the world. And Nicodemus comes to him from the darkness to the light. And he says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God." And Jesus says to him, he says, "Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Born again. Now again, here's a word that is often misunderstood in modern English denominational disputes. The word in Greek is anothen. Ano, up. above, and thin, from. Anothen, from above. It's a Greek adverb, which appears even another few times in this section. And it means from above. But in many languages, if you've studied any other languages, you know that the word above often can be used as a substitute for the word again. It is in Greek. Once in a while, anothen can mean again. So Nicodemus misunderstands the conversation. Now, the conversation was written in Aramaic, but John translates this into Greek for us. And he says, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born a second time again? And Jesus says, no. I'm talking about a birth again. Yes, Nicodemus, but this one's from above. This one's from above. He says, as he explains to Nicodemus now what he was talking about, in response to Nicodemus' question, he says, Nicodemus, it is necessary for a man, if he is to enter into the kingdom of God, to be born again of water and the Spirit. Of water and the Spirit. And this should remind the audience reading the Gospel of John, and any Christian familiar with the story, of what John had told us earlier about the baptism of Jesus, when he saw the Spirit descend upon the one God had sent, and therefore knew he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. He saw Jesus come out of the water and the Spirit descend. This is what Peter said. If you want to be saved, brethren, you must enter into Jesus. Because Jesus is not only the Savior, but He is Himself salvation. It is only in Jesus, by being a member of the body of Christ, literally, that you can be saved. Because what is salvation but being restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father that Adam and Eve had of old, but had rejected when they rejected His Word? Jesus, the Word, has been sent by the Father to restore Adam to that relationship. As St. Paul tells us elsewhere, there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself up as a ransom for all. All. And this is why He said to the disciples, He did not say to them, go out and make disciples among the Jews, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them. He said, go out and baptize all nations. Why? Because Jesus is not just the son of David, as Matthew tells us at the beginning of that gospel. Jesus is the son of Abraham. And God had promised when He called Abraham from the nations in Genesis chapter 12. He said in verse 3, through your seed, all the nations shall be blessed. Abraham was called from the nations for the sake of the nations. And here we are today. There may be a few of you who have some Jewish blood here. But the vast majority of us are the product, the fruit of the labors of the apostolic church, going out and baptizing all nations and teaching them everything Jesus had taught them. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? You have been buried with Him and raised with Him to newness of life. So that as Christ was raised from the dead, you hear that? So that as Christ was raised from the dead, you too might walk in newness of life. How can we walk in newness of life? Because as St. Paul says in Galatians 3:27, and as we sing at every baptism, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. You have become a member of His body. And if you are in Jesus, you are in communion with the Father. And if you are in communion with the Father, then you have entered back into the Garden of Eden. And the only thing we await is His return, when He will raise our mortal bodies from the dead. And we will suddenly see, when this veil is lifted, where God has placed us and replanted us in that garden from the moment of our baptism. How will we be raised? Jesus said very simply, identifying Himself as the fruit of the tree of life of Adam had rejected of old. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him. This is that same gospel, the gospel of John, of which we were just talking about life in chapter 3. Has life in him, and I, he says, will raise him on the last day. I will raise him on the last day. This is the consolation we have when we lay our loved ones in the tomb. This is the consolation we have when we close our eyes to this world and await our bodily resurrection. We have the promise of Jesus, and that is the Word of God upon which we can stand. Let us glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father and His all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.